Hello, everybody, and welcome to the RDM podcast. I'm yours truly, Rabbi Daniel Malinga. Is there an agenda by the enemy to foster a message out there in a hidden way? Subliminal messages, the ability to create and communicate a message that bypasses the consciousness. We believe it can be received. What can the church do? What can the church learn from this? To discuss the topic with me in the room, I'm going to introduce my guests. On my left is my co-host, Afi Moneybags McLean. You're welcome, sir.
Thank you, sir. Good to be here as well.
Businessman and guru. On the far left is Cynthia Chofuna. She's a poet, a writer, a YouTuber. Is there anything else I've missed?
A publicist.
A publicist. What's your YouTube page?
My YouTube channel is Cynthia Chofuna.
Yeah.
On there, we discuss being versatile so that people can embrace who they are so that they can be, you know, go out and do great things.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And on my right is Sandra Navada. She is a member of Watchman Ministries, a ministry that focuses on the end time message.
Yeah.
She is also a member of Joseph Generations, a singing group. And she's also a singer under the name Nandra.
Yeah.
You have a YouTube channel as well.
I have a YouTube channel. I sing love songs.
Ooh.
Yeah, I sing love songs. I'm an entertainer. Yeah.
Okay. That's fantastic. That means we've invited the right people.
Yep.
Yes,
the right place,
have.
Right,
yep.
McLean.
Yep.
All right. So I've been noticing over the past few years, if you notice, that the enemy is using different ways to hide his message in order to control the narrative globally.
Mm-hmm.
There are different avenues. Sometimes it's magazines. If you notice The Economist, the magazine that's released every year, it's kind of prophetic in nature. Because every time they release the magazine with a cover, the cover seems to prophetically predict the future, right?
Yep.
So you have the magazine. But then we have movies, we have songs, we have various ways in which the enemy is doing things. There are people out there who think maybe we're being too outrageous. What do you think about that, McLean?
I think if you're someone who is doubting whether they're subliminal messages, first, I'd ask if you're a parent, because if you're a parent and you've watched cartoons, I'm sure there are certain cartoons that you've watched of late and you realize, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound like it's for kids. Then the music in itself alone, not just the words, not just the, you know, the images, the setup and everything, but even with the dress code, there is communication going on. It's just that at the end of the day, because it's registered in the subconscious mind, people are not paying attention to it, but subliminal messages are real, and they're there.
What about, you're a publicist, Cynthia,
yes.
And this is your world. Tell us about it. How do they use subliminal messaging?
So maybe I could sort of backtrack. So subliminal messaging really started as a way to sell a narrative. As a publicist, you're working with a client, and the client wants sales. They want clients. They want customers. So they ask you to sort of get out to the public, that they reach out to, or the public that is their audience, and then target them in a way that they will find their product appealing. So, for example, Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is all of our TV stations. They run various adverts, and on there, they're showing you the beauty of family, the beauty of love, but in there, they will show Coca-Cola as the, you know, share the feeling with your loved ones, with your family. So I feel that as publicists, definitely, this is really our world, to make sure that we are running the narrative, but the end goal is that we are manipulating you to buy into it.
What's wrong with bringing across a message directly?
Most people won't believe it. So, as a person, you have values. You have certain points. Say, for example, there's been an ongoing trend of so much.
LGBTQ.
Yes.
Wow.
So if I put it across you will not buy it because you naturally, your values do not sit right. Mm-hmm. Your subconscious tells you, no, I do not buy into that brand. So what do? I make sure that I change the logo and make sure that the colors are cross-cutting. I watch a lot of cartoons. I mean, McLean mentioned that if you're a parent mm-hmm. and you're watching cartoons and you're against subliminal messaging, I'm not against subliminal messaging because I watch cartoons, especially Cocomelon. mm-hmm. So in Cocomelon, I've seen that, oh, well, the rainbow is so pronounced lately. Mm. And it's really just a rainbow. Rainbows appeal to children. But it's very, very pronounced. And there's something to question about that. So you cannot put across a message directly because people have values and they will not buy into it. So rather you put it subtly. So if you watch something for a few minutes, you watch the next day for a few minutes, before you know it, you buy the idea.
Well, I would like also to point out that subliminal messaging is not all bad, right?
Yeah. It's not. Yeah.
The messages we can bring out in a subliminal way, but they're positive, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think that they've really used the music. I'll talk about the music because that's what I understand. I'm thinking music brings things in a subtle way, but it also in a feel-good way. Mm. You're feeling good. Sometimes you're just thinking, ooh, this melody, ooh, this thing that feels so nice to my soul. But in there, they're trying to control your mental.
Yes. Psych. Yeah,
yeah, they're controlling your psyche. They're trying to show you that this is what, as listening to that song by J-Lo, I ain't your mama. Mm-hmm. uh-huh. It's a fun song. Like even when I'm listening to, I'm not gonna do your laundry, ain't your mama. I ain't gonna do the cooking, mm-hmm. I ain't your mama. Mm-hmm. As in, it's fun. Like for a girl like me, I'm thinking, yeah, man, I ain't doing your laundry.
Do it yourself.
But, yeah, like do it yourself. But in other words, they're trying to show you that now the women are advancing to a place where we do not have to do anything for men. We are ourselves. We do things. You do your stuff. I do mine. And then we find a way to work things around.
Have you watched this movie? This J-Lo movie, Will You Marry Me?
No.
I kind of got the trailer. I saw the trailer.
So in the movie, she's this pop star, which is what she is. Mm-hmm. And there's this guy, Owen Wilson. So he's in the crowd. And she just picks him out. She points at him and says, you.
Yeah.
Will you marry me?
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, so he had put up a banner saying, "Will you marry me?" And says, "I will marry you." And so, subliminal message there is that, in essence, it's a lady doesn't have to wait for the man to make the move. You understand? Mm-hmm. The lady got control. Mm-hmm. You get what you're saying? Yeah. And so, there are people out there who might have a few issues with that. They're saying, oh, man, you guys, you know, we're progressive, we're moving forward, but we're basing a lot of things that we talk about here on this podcast from a spiritual perspective.
Correct.
Listen, the Bible refers to the devil as the prince of the power of the air.
Correct.
The word media comes from the word medium.
Yep.
Which means to channel, to be used as a channel of communication. And the enemy has used it primarily as his way to ensure that he controls the narrative. The news that we listen to, I was telling people a few days back that the news that we listen to, a lot of what we hear, especially by Western media, is controlled. Sometimes it's even staged.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
And so not everything that we listen to is
truth.
Is truth.
Yeah.
That's one.
Yeah.
Not everything that we listen to is important.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah.
That's two, mm-hmm. because the news determines what
yeah, what is important,
what is important,
yeah, what you should focus on.
And so it's easy for you to think. So if something is running on the media for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, the question is it important?
Mm-hmm.
Or number two, is someone trying to make you think it is?
Is important, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is how people drive these narratives. So take things like Netflix, and I'm going to bring you guys in. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Netflix is a streaming service, just like the other streaming services that have come up,
mm-hmm.
right? And people run to Netflix. Have you noticed that a lot of the movies on Netflix are very agenda-oriented?
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They drive a narrative, especially a narrative towards sexuality.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
It's not just Netflix, it's Hollywood generally. And so it seems like, and we're going to talk later about what the church can do about this, because it seems like what she said, they know they can't throw it into your face directly.
Correct.
So they throw it into your face indirectly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is this. You will watch a 1.5-hour movie. For 30 minutes, you've watched action. Then 10 seconds of homosexuality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Or even less than 10.
Yeah.
Then another 30 minutes of nothing. Mm-hmm. So if you watch a series of 15 episodes, you'll think, nothing is happening. Mm-hmm. After some time, you think to yourself, what's going on? So it seems like the power nowadays is not just with the people who have the money, but it's the people who control the narrative,
right?
So if you have how many streaming services do you know? Is Netflix,
Amazon Prime, Hulu? Yeah, quite a number.
Okay, so all these are playing a role in ensuring, and most of them, interestingly, are aligned with a specific kind of direction and narrative. And for me, my worry is, as Christians, do Christians have a streaming service, a well-known one? Do we? That hurts.
Yeah. Yeah, when there's silence like that, you know it's there's no answer coming. Yeah. So
do we have a streaming service? Yeah. And so this is the thing that I'm saying, is that we need to take control of the narrative as well. I don't believe there's dominion without narrative, right?
Yeah,
we need to do that. But again, I'm sure this is something that we're going to point out. I think we also need to ask ourselves why Christians haven't taken that direction. And maybe there are those who have tried to take that direction, but their approach wasn't, you know, it wasn't working for mainstream media or for what's out there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Let's say, for example, Tyler Perry. We've all watched his movies. We love his movies. At least at some point, you can see that the agenda in there is family, it's love, and it's something like that. You understand?
Yes.
But even when he's making his movies and whatsoever, he's not coming out and saying, this is a born-again movie, you know, John 3:16 and everything. And he's creating a cast and he's creating a storyline that anyone can roll with.
Mm.
But along the way, he's packing his message in there.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, I think if we had more of those, it would be much better.
Yes.
Okay? Because at the end of the day, these guys who are controlling all these streaming platforms, by the way, are not very different. You'll find it's just a small group, a handful of people owning these different groups. You know, recently I was having a conversation with a friend in the US and he was telling me, look, all the supermarkets that we go to, and we went to some of those, all the supermarkets, like, you see a lot of stuff on the shelves and you'd think, oh, these are so many different service providers and suppliers and everything. And he said, don't be fooled. Those are just like five people who are producing these different products. So at the end of the day, you might think, okay, you know what? I'm going to run away from Netflix. I'll go to Hulu. It's the same people.
It's the same people.
You understand? So we just moved from the movies for adults.
Yeah.
We went to Cartoon Network. Yeah. And we did something for the kids. Now, when people made noise about something for the kids, we went to teens. If you study the trajectory of how cartoons have transitioned, when they first started, there's a cartoon. I'm trying to remember the name. I'll just check. Betty Boop. I don't know if anyone
has seen. Do
you remember
Betty
Boop?
Yes.
The way it started, the message was so wrong. It was adult content because this lady would dress in a very sexual way with skimpy clothes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then the public made noise in the US, okay? And the guy said, you know what? Okay, we apologize and whatsoever. They pulled it down. The next time they put it up, she was putting on better dressing, okay, corporate. So they realized, okay, the adults are being freaked out. Let's move away from here. Then they moved over to the kids. And when they came over to the kids and trying to make it more like a kid stuff and things like that, they're throwing in
subtle
messages, you know, subtle messages.
And you're a mother. You're a mother, so you seem to be very sensitive about what your kids watch.
Mm.
Are there cartoons that you've seen aside from Cocomelon that you think, okay, here the enemy is really trying to pass on a message?
There's really quite a number of cartoons. SpongeBob.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
SpongeBob. Just recently, the director came out. There was that whole ruckus of make a stand for something. Mm-hmm. So and that time it was, you know, so much of the LGBT agenda. So the director of SpongeBob comes out and says, "Oh, actually SpongeBob is gender neutral.
Yeah. Mm.
And he supports the LGBT. Yeah. And so the episodes that followed, you'd see Mr. Crab and SpongeBob sort of do, you know, funny things. it's very crazy. But, you know, I wouldn't want to be seen as a person that is only looking out for these. I've actually seen very great animations that have also passed on the message of especially finding who you are. Because subliminal messaging is really going to get onto your emotions. Mm-hmm. They know you are in control of self. Mm. So you have control of your emotions. And that's what Rabbi was speaking about. Mm-hmm. That if you keep on watching 10 seconds of something, after 30 minutes, you're going to feel like, because your emotions have been, have now started becoming receptive of the idea that is being passed on.
Yep.
Yeah, so I've seen, you know, animations like Moana. They preach the agenda of finding self.
That's a very spiritual movie.
And then also Raya and the Dragon.
Yes.
And then Coco. And then
Coco. Yeah.
Yeah. So I realize that Hollywood or whoever is making these movies knows that there is power.
Correct.
There's spirituality, and I'm also thankful that there are people that realize that we need to actually start domesticating young kids to understand the concept of spirituality, the concept of self, the concept of, you know, finding power within to do great things.
Because I'm going to bring in Sandra. That's very interesting because we can clearly see that there's been a drive towards spirituality in every area, especially in media, movies, music, books. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is the same drive is in music, right?
Yeah.
So is there music that you've listened to that has passed on something subliminal that you're like, there's an agenda going on here?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, of course, for music, it has even... Now it's like on a grand... Yeah. I feel I've listened to music. I've told you that song of J-Lo. Hmm. Then... we run the world, girls, we run the world. That song has a beat. It has a beat, it bangs, and you're like, damn, let's start dancing. Mm. And then when you actually look at it, for a girl like me, I'm thinking, let me first backtrack a bit. Now, this lady, B, has sang this music from way back.
Mm-hmm. Queen B, yes.
Yeah, Queen B. I actually just realized that it was an agenda for way back. Throw your hands up. Pay my bills. I mean, I pay my bills. I pay my phone bills. I pay everything. That's, you know what? So, and then she just keeps on adding little by
and
little.
Fact, actually, if I might add to that, you're the music. So I was explaining to my ministry that there are transitions musicians go through.
Yes.
The first transition, especially if they're in the worldly, the first transition is innocence, then compromise, then there's initiation around there and sacrifice. Mm. Now, when you see someone called king of something, queen of something, you know that they've reached.
They've crossed initiation.
They've crossed initiation and they've reached the levels of... So you can see the trend in the songs that Beyoncé sang when she was... innocent. She actually used to sing in
very
church.
Very innocent, yeah.
She used to sing in church. Then it transitioned around the way there was compromise.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay? Especially when she connected to certain people.
Mm.
Then there was initiation around there. Eh? Yeah. She sang a song and calls herself Sasha Fierce.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
So she has an alter ego.
Yes.
Then suddenly she's Queen Bee.
Yes.
Okay? Mm. So to reach that point where the world bows down to you, it can't be coincidental. Please go on.
It's not coincidental. Mm. Like, I watched her and I'm like, such a song as I'm a Survivor. Mm. Now this even cuts across. Even for a man, you feel like, I'm a survivor. Mm. I am da-da-da-da-da. But what I've also learned about music and entertainment, it also comes from the spirit of what you're trying to...
This is powerful.
..to give out. You get. So
they're not just words.
They're not just words. So a song like I'm a Survivor, it cuts across. She didn't sing about a woman surviving or a man surviving. It was general. But then coming, the spirit that she carries is only trying to tell a woman, it is main. It's not really for the man.
You know, a lot of people. McLean, we're going to play.
Yeah.
As you come in,
that's, that's a nice point, and I like the way we're driving towards somewhere. Okay, so now we're at the point of spirituality, and this is something that I wanted to share. There is music out there that you can listen to, and if your spirit man is awake and attuned well, you can tell that this is dark music. How does the wrong spirit, you know, and you can switch up. I love to work out. There's particular kind of music that gets you, that gives you what we call muscle mind connection. It's easy for you to work out, so you can, you know, get the movement going on. That's why when you go to the gym and they're playing for you techno kind of music, you're able to do aerobics. Okay, it gets you going.
Yeah.
Imagine music that, you know, is sending a message indirectly that, let's say, the person next to you is the wrong kind of person. They don't deserve to be here. They need to be eliminated and things like that. That is what has graduated into the violence that we see in the U.S. today.
Yes.
It started like a small thing, and then it graduated. There are stories of people who have literally listened to music so much that at the end of the day, they believed it as their gospel truth, and they felt they needed to do something about it. There's a song that these guys did. The guys who did Hotel California. Okay?
The Eagles.
The Eagles. There's a song, there's one of the songs that they did. And in that song, in the background, there was a subliminal message of do it, do it, do it. And on the surface, the lyrics are literally telling someone, shoot yourself. You understand?
Yeah.
So what registered in this, and there were two brothers, and what registered in their mind was the whole bit of do it, do it, do it. So they listened to it so much that, like, they got caught up. It's like people who play video games. At some point, you get caught up, and when you come into the real world, you're trying to adjust.
Yeah.
And these guys actually got guns. There were two brothers and shot at each other. Now, this story came out because one of the brothers survived. Of course, his face was disfigured, but he survived. It was a serious case in the U.S. Its origin? Music.
I want us to play. I want us to play that clip. Since we're on music, then I'll bring in Cynthia to come in and add to what she sees here. Okay, play that clip.
I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my king.
I've just played for you two lyrics. Eh?
Yes.
Okay, the first one was, what was the first one?
I'm coming home.
What do you get from that, Cynthia?
Someone is going home. Someone is going home.
Well, you can get that. Okay, let me tell you why that song is, you know, subliminal messages are interesting because some people think that we're just
trying to create things.
Eh? If you listen to the whole song, because I didn't want us to play the whole song. Eh?
Okay.
The song is about someone who's coming home. But who?
Yeah.
I am coming home. I'm coming home. Tell the world
I'm coming home.
Huh? Then he says, what did he say? Let the
rain
wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom awaits. I have been forgiven my mistakes. Who is he talking about?
I think he's talking about the Antichrist.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, specifically the devil.
Yes. Mm. Talking about the devil. That's and you see the thing is, the lyrics are so finely written.
Yes.
That you unless
yep.
You're paying keen and attention.
That's the thing with subliminal messages. Exactly. You cannot see it with the naked eye. You need to be intentional,
very intentional
to try and pick it out.
Now, the second song of Hotel California is very interesting because this guy is talking about an event, and I believe he's talking about an actual encounter. Mm. Okay? He has an encounter, and at some point he says, I don't know if this was heaven or hell.
Hell, yeah.
And he says he goes down some dark corridor and someone appears and says, welcome to Hotel California. A lovely place. Then he says he had voices. Now, if you read on the lyrics later, he says he was refused to leave.
Interesting.
Now, this people write their, especially spiritual people, write their experiences within their lyrics.
Yes, mm-hmm. They do.
Okay? And if you're connected to the music, if you add rhythm, melody, and lyrics, the power that creates, it's more powerful than Martin Luther King saying, I have a dream.
Exactly.
Cynthia, please, I don't do that. You seem to be shell-shocked.
I am so shocked because, first and foremost, Hotel California has a very great beat. I'm going to miss the messaging.
I'm
going
to admit, I used to love Hotel California as a song.
Yeah. So it has a very great beat. The first song, I'm Coming Home, I felt it sort of attach itself to my emotion. Mm-hmm. It's a somber song. Yeah. It's a calm song. You could really play it in your house on a Sunday.
I love that melody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But now, I'm learning from Rabbi. Someone is coming.
And this is just a small sample of the things out there. Have you listened to Billie Eilish's songs?
Woo. Yes. Huh? Yes.
I haven't, but I know that people are... She has a multitude of people that love her.
You see, there are different kinds of musicians. Eh? You come in and... There are different kinds. There are musicians who, like this, the ones we've just showed, who the music is very light but has a deep, dark message inside of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then there are musicians who carry an aura. When they sing, you feel it. Billie Eilish falls in that category. Mm. Her videos are ridiculous.
Yes.
Huh? Katy Perry.
Avril Lavigne.
There's Lil Nas X.
Yeah. Yes, Astro.
Montero. And so when we're talking about people like that, there are different kinds of people, the musicians who portray certain things and carry certain auras. And if you get caught into that, there is no way, there's no sort of impartation.
That is not going to get to you. For Billie Eilish, literally, even the makeup makes you sad. Like they will put dark makeup, then they'll put her in a room that kind of makes your head feel like it's hurting. Like, literally. For Billie Eilish.
Yeah. I really want to add to that. And the same can be said about movies.
Yes.
I took a trip and, you know, I had, you know, after all this field work, I had a bit of time. And, you know, some influencers had spoken about a movie whose name I will not mention here. So I clicked this movie on Netflix. I think I started watching it like at 8 p.m. Mm. Guys, I didn't sleep that night, but when I woke up the next day, every episode I was watching, my spirit kept on telling me, why don't you get this thing off?
Mm.
But it just felt like, what's happening in the next episode? What's happening in the next episode? The next day, I couldn't raise up anything. I was weak. I felt sick. And I knew, there's a doting voice in my spirit telling me, it's because of this movie.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know if you want me to... The name itself is...
okay. Speaking of that... sorry. When you talk about the music that you listen to and how it makes you feel, I have learned that from my father that the music that you listen to, you have to be careful. So recently, I put on my radio. I wasn't doing that. I used to do it when I was a teenager, but now I don't do it anymore. But recently I just said, nah, Capital FM, because I listen to love songs. Yeah. So I sleep with the volume up. I don't even know why I did that. So I wake up and I'm sobbing. Mm. And I am sad. and I am tired.
And you don't know why.
And I'm thinking, what is wrong with me? I cried and like the whole day I'm crying and I'm asking myself, what is wrong with me? Mm. Of course, I had an idea of, yeah, you know, what you listen to subconsciously, da, 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 da. But then I couldn't shake it. Then I remembered, or even it took my father to actually remind me that be careful of what you listen to or what is near you, because you just don't get sad from nowhere. You just don't get sad from nowhere and just be like, yo. Or you just don't get happy from nowhere.
how do these guys master the art of subliminal messaging? You've heard of this stuff where if you play music backwards, it has a message to it.
Yes.
Some subliminal messaging is quite innocent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Quote unquote. So, for example, there's this song by it must have taken some cunningness. It's this song by Eminem. Yeah? My name is the real Slim Shady. And if you play it backwards, it's actually Slim Shady is Eminem. My name is Slim Shady. Slim Shady is Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is okay. But the ability to anyone, and you know, he never told anyone that's what it is. Someone just went and played backwards and realized, okay, there's that that's innocent. Then there's music that if you play backwards, you realize, okay, there was something dark that was implanted in this.
Yeah.
How do these guys master the art, MacLean?
That art is called backward masking. Okay, you take the music, you play it backwards, okay, but very slowly, and the words are stretched out, and you can hear clearly what the guys are saying. Now, at the end of the day, just like how they get their lyrics, I want to believe that whoever is giving them those lyrics knows what they are giving them. These guys might not know for themselves also how to interpret it that way, but the person who is giving them that message knows that in this music, we've deposited something like that. I think that's one. Two, you really need to be a genius to be able to do that, because when you look at some of the lyrics where they've done backward masking, you fail to understand how someone would sit down and think, okay, a song like Merry Christmas, let's flip it backwards. Like what? You're just going to wake up and say randomly, let's get that song, flip it backwards. Let's get that one, flip it. Yeah. So I think whoever is giving these guys the lyrics packs in hidden messages as well, because some of them are worship songs. Some of them are words of acclamation, are words of affirmation, are words of just, you know, praising the devil.
Yeah.
Now, the question me I want to ask is, and it's in relation to this, where does a child of God stand when they're innocently singing along with such lyrics, where there's a darker message hidden in it?
In the world, but not of it. I think I have a submission as well. People know about spirituality, and people making this music have sort of been in a space that Rabbi and all these other great men of God are actually teaching us to get into as children of God.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that spells out for all of these, you know, lyrics or movies or all that subliminal messaging that is really between light and darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the child of God is not aware. It's really, we are in the world, we are partying, we are here to have a good time, yeah? Mm-hmm. And, the reputation of the church is, I have to let go of all these things and live a quiet life, live a somber life, but my friends are having fun and I need to be part of that fun. Mm-hmm. So, while we are still trying to discover ourselves, this by using that to their advantage to also sell us this very narrative.
What can the child of God who's aware do then?
So, yeah, that brings me back to the bit of people have discovered spirituality. And so there are overarching themes. I personally believe this. It might not be any other person's opinion, but it is mine. There are overarching themes. All of a sudden, there is depression.
Mm.
And everyone across the world is talking about depression.
Mental health.
Those are overarching themes. It comes, there's a portal that's opening up somewhere, and you know, this portal decides we're now going to be in a trance or in a moment of depression. So all of the messaging that goes out, all of the songs that go out,
Innately, we are playing music that will make Nandra wake up sobbing, wake up sad, wake up feeling like I'm incompetent, I'm not discovering, I'm not achieving my dreams. So, yeah.
Okay, but my thing is, because I'm going to ask you guys again.
Yes.
What can the child of God who's aware do? Because in my mind is that if the world can use subliminal messaging, so can we.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay? No one, you see, there's one thing singing Jesus.
Yes.
It's another thing actually putting a message. You know, you've watched Chronicles of Narnia.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Sandra, you have to watch Chronicles.
You have to.
It's a nice one.
Yeah. I did not know that.
All five parts.
All those depression things that you now switch and watch Chronicles of Narnia. Now it has three parts to it.
Yeah.
But Chronicles of Narnia was a book written by C.S. Lewis. And in it, he coded the message of God, but in a very fantastical way. And so the world received it.
Mm.
Movies have come out because of it. And I believe that is one of the ways the church can use for people to receive the gospel. People just find themselves, you know how when you listen to music and you go to sleep and a demon has attacked you?
Mm. Yes.
This one is different. Eh?
Yes.
You listen to something and you go to sleep and an angel has come.
Yes.
Yeah. True.
What is it that I've been listening? So I believe we can use the same methods. The church is too, even when it comes to movies, I just feel like
the church is too churchy.
Yeah. Aha. Uh-huh. That's it.
Yeah.
Every Christian movie doesn't have to have
Jesus. Jesus is Lord.
You understand? Yeah. Because a person is going to know this is Jesus.
This is Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if it's to have Jesus, let it be excellent and unique in such a way that it's undeniable. Like for example, The Chosen.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's put together. You've watched. Hopefully you've watched it.
Come on.
I've not watched
it. Come on, son.
What are you watching?
I know.
Okay. Go watch Chronicles of Narnia.
And The Chosen.
Watch The Chosen. I'm afraid to mention
anymore. I hope you don't bring it up anymore.
Okay. So in The Chosen, there's an app, by the way, and it's free. You can watch it for free. But The Chosen, so this guy, and this is where the church needs to learn.
Yeah.
They come up with this concept of a series of about Jesus' life and his disciples. But they didn't just come up with it. They have a strategy.
Mm.
And this is where the enemy has strategies.
Yeah.
The church needs a strategy.
Yeah.
Yes.
The strategy was we need to reach 1 billion people.
Mm.
So in the app, they started counting down from how many people start viewing.
Yeah.
I think now they're on 300 million or something like that. From one.
Mm.
Okay? Now, they constructed the message in such a way that if you watched The Chosen, you'd be attached to the characters. You would see how Jesus actually would have looked like.
Mm.
They did their due diligence. So by the time you go to it, I've seen non-believers saying, man, this thing was well made.
Yep. Mm,
okay.
And the second part is that it was funded purely by
Christians.
By Christians. Because Hollywood is not going to fund something like that.
Mm.
And this is where the unity aspect comes in. Because the dark world is very unified in bringing out the message. Right, McLean?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, actually, I watched The Chosen. For me, it's like the best. I actually prefer it to the Jesus movies before, because I feel like you're saying, the characters are relatable. It makes more sense. You understand? Like, you can understand this. Simon Peter now makes sense why. You understand? Like, you didn't understand Simon Peter's frustration when Jesus told him, go cast your net on the other side. And he said, man, I've been there. The whole night we were there. But in this series, you get to understand Simon Peter's character, and you can understand where his frustration is coming from. Like, man, I don't have time to waste.
Yeah.
I'm a go-getter. Like, I'm head on. You're wasting my time. So I'm not going to go back and throw my net this other side.
Yeah.
So for me, that it was a really nice product by Christians, for Christians and for the world, and it's amazing.
Now, I've had people say that when you watch The Chosen, you can place yourself in one of those disciples.
Correct.
You can see, I think I'm this
correct
disciple. They've done it so well.
Correct.
You understand? And that's a challenge for us.
Yes.
The church needs to come up with a strategy
of
using the tools the enemy is using against.
Yeah. I think the approach the church, I don't know, because it's not everyone. And it's not all sectors of the church. But I think a large segment of the church is using the wrong approach. I think we're failing to understand that we're in this world to affect this world.
Mm.
You understand? we are not in this world to create our own cocoons,
yes,
and safeguard ourselves, and this is just us. So when we reach out, we only reach out to our kind and things. Church is not within the four walls.
Yes.
The church is out.
And
there.
It's amazing you should say that, because I'm going to bring in these guys. Eh? Mm. It's so interesting that when the church packages things, it packages things for Christians.
Like
when the world packages things, it packages things for everyone. So it's ready to reach out. Nandra, please.
I've been dying.
Okay, go ahead.
No, there's this scripture that says that he came into the world, like we was into the world. He didn't say church. You get what I'm saying? He didn't say church. And so we used to be in church and we'd be like, no, since I'm a musician, I'm definitely a gospel artist. Until when I got a prophecy of, no, you're supposed to be an entertainer. Actually go and sing love songs. And I'm like, what? I've been listening to love songs all my life, so thank you for setting me free, because this is what I've been wanting.
So you
all
thought
this
love
life.
Songs were not that?
Yeah, no, that's a perception.
Was a perception. And then all this time, I've been trying to learn how me, as a person who grew up from church, how do I enter the world? And I met some people who have crazy ideas. So I met someone who told me, Sandra, if you're going to be the entertainer that you are, and the love song ballad that you are, you're going to have to think outside the box.
Yep.
Then they told me, so if you're going to sing a love song, actually I was talking to your wife, and I'm like, okay, I've written my first love song, but I don't want it to sound like a gospel song.
Mm-hmm.
You know those gospel songs that sound like, they're love songs, but they sound like gospel?
It's like they're writing love to Jesus.
Yeah, love to Jesus. Yeah. Then I said, no, if it's a love song to my husband, then let it be to my husband.
And you see the thing, Nandra, we've talked about this. Eh?
Yes.
If you're husband and wife and you're in the bedroom, you're
I was about to say something.
You're not going to play hallelujah.
Preach.
You have to play some.
I'm sure someone was hoping we would not get there, but we had to get there.
We had to.
It's how we got here.
Subliminal message.
Subliminal
influence.
Exactly. Okay. So I go into the studio, I write my first two verses, and I didn't have a bridge. And I said, it's not yet where I want it, because I don't want to be mistaken as a gospel artist. I want the world to know that I'm coming in for love.
Yeah.
And for the lovers out there. So I wrote a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
When you're here, stay a little longer. When you hold me, hold a little tighter.
Come on.
Hey.
When you touch me, please don't stop. So the moment I wrote it, I'm like, no, this is it. So when I was speaking to the people at the fellowship, they're like, gee, where were you? Where is your head? I'm like, my head was in the right place.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want it to be perceived as this is a gospel song, or it is, oh, it's a love song, but he's still in charge. I wanted the person in the world to catch up on it.
Yeah. I love this. And you see the thing, is it?
Yeah.
You've watched the Book of Eli?
Yes, I love them.
Huh?
Yep.
Okay. I know you guys, I don't know what movies.
Have you watched the Book of Eli?
No.
Okay.
You'll two watch, eh? Huh? But the Book of Eli has Denzel Washington in it. Yeah. And it's a subliminal movie. It's literally the Book of Eli. The book represents the Bible.
Yeah.
Huh? And Denzel Washington is acting in this movie, and the Bible is the most precious book at the time, the only book remaining, and all this. But the thing is this: I like people like Denzel Washington.
Mm.
They will act in a movie, and you will never know if you didn't know him. Eh?
Mm.
You'd see there's something perfect and excellent about what he does and the way he acts. Mm. And when they finally interview him, it's always the message. You can clearly see this guy is a born-again Christian.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
So sometimes people want, you don't always have to be, all your movies, for example, if you're an actor, don't have to be Jesus.
Come on.
But the thing is that you need to have your values. Yeah. And I was explaining to, like I said, to a few people the other day, The Rock set it straight that he doesn't go kissing and making love in movies. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
He's always the hero, the father, or the husband.
Yep.
He's still a superstar.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
There are other actors. Julia Roberts, actress, she doesn't go beyond kissing.
Even Denzel himself.
Okay. Yeah. So when you can set standards. I've had people talk about Dominion as Christians, and they're saying we gotta go down dirty just like them guys.
Yeah.
And so I think your values still need
also
to.
Matter.
Yeah, they also matter because ultimately, when you say you're a Christian, the world needs to be able to connect to something in you that
in
is
you.
Godly.
That
yes.
is godly.
Yes, please.
When you say that, then I remember the book of the Seven Mountain Prophecy. And we, they in our fellowship, they divided us into your mountain of
influence.
Of influence. So mine was celebration, of course. And we were discussing and we were talking about the entertainment industry and how we should take over, like how we are talking about. And we said, okay, Sandra, so you're going to sing music, but how are you going to overtake Queen Bee?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. How? Yep. So now I feel like everything has been done.
Mm.
Yeah? It's like almost everything has been done. So what do we Christians do? Mm. Then, someone said, you know what, Sandra? If Queen Bee is putting on a swimming costume on stage or a thong, you as a Christian, if you're going to dominate, you're not going to put on a thong.
Mm.
Oh, if you want to take that trend, you have to be a buffer, then you have to go naked. Because she's putting on a thong. Then if you want to take that trend, I mean, because she has showed everything, then probably you have to go naked. So the other way that we Christians have to take the dominion and take that trend where then you're supposed to start up your own.
Yep.
Because they've already done theirs and there's nothing new there you're going to do. So you're supposed to start up your own. And we are supposed to start up our own being led of the Spirit and being wise as a serpent.
We need wisdom.
We need wisdom.
Yeah.
Because you know that, okay, Beyoncé released a new album, which is about self-love, which we know that it's not actually about self-love, but it's about seduction and all. Then you know that, okay, so if I'm to write a song about self-love, where do I go?
Mm.
I mean, to re-encounter this, like, to counter that. So I'm thinking we are supposed to know, set your thing from down. Do not build on theirs.
Yeah, actually.
I think that's the problem is. We want to, she did this photo shoot. I'm going to do exactly like that.
Same yes, yes, yes.
No.
God
no.
is creative. Come
God
on.
God is creative.
Yes, yes. Eh?
So do your own. And make it stand out.
Okay. Yes.
Just on the same point.
Yes.
The creativity bit, and I'm glad you mentioned it, and I'm glad you mentioned the whole bit of God being creative.
Yes.
You understand? At the end of the day, what these guys have done is they bring a narrative. They are the definition of what is cool, what's acceptable, what works, what is trending, and things like that. You understand? Christians need to understand that is how you impact.
Yeah.
That is how you influence. You don't, if it's not something that's going to align with your emotion, with what is, you know, cool and what can feel like it's trending and things like that, it's not going to work.
Yes.
And I think the other issue is most Christians short circuit themselves before they begin.
Yes.
Short circuiting is what I term as you shoot yourself even before someone else shoots you. You understand? So you look at these guys and think, oh, they're so big, we can never be as big as them. Mm. So maybe what we do, like you're saying, let's come in with the stage that they've set and we'll start from here. And then along the way, I'll change it to my own way and things like that.
Which
you understand?
Hard.
Which is a very wrong approach.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, and we could go into different stories of how these guys get the ideas.
Yes.
The same way you're sitting down and saying, okay, how do I come up with this genius idea and whatsoever? They're asking those questions.
Yes.
Then they're channeling those questions somewhere. A spirit somewhere.
A spirit.
Responds with an idea, with a concept. And this is what they translate. This is how Christians need to operate. When you're asking questions, be definite with the kind of question you're asking.
Yes.
Don't just say, God, I want to influence the music industry. Be specific. Which one do you want to influence? And how much influence do you want to impact? You understand?
Impact, yeah.
What are you trying to get at? Because it's the same discussion we're having, even for us as businessmen. It's the same question. Everyone has done, looks like everyone has done everything. I don't believe so. God is so creative. He's infinite.
Yes.
I am sure there is an idea that we can still get that the world has not yet seen. But the problem is Christians are not believing that far.
Yes.
They are limiting their belief to what they have seen in the world, and they're thinking that is as far as we can go.
Mm-hmm.
But if you approach it from that direction, you're not going to start anything. So you need to understand that you need to trust the God that you say you believe in.
Yeah.
that he's infinite and he can give a unique idea that no one has seen.
Yeah.
And then the last thing that I'm just going to say on this, and then I think you can come in, is I had a conversation with your brother, the animator, and I remember this. He said it even when we were together at some point. Most people usually fear the reaction of, let's say, established industries or things like that. And you think, because this industry is already established and they have their standards and their rules and whatsoever, I cannot come in to change. And he told us, no, actually, that's not true. If you stand your ground, okay, as long as you have a good product, a product that stands out, and they know that without you, this product is not going to excel, they have no option but to listen to you. So when you say, no, I'm not going to take a photo shoot in a thong, because they know you have influence and they know that you have the audience they're looking for. At some point, they're going to say, okay, really? Okay, now what can we work with? Can you at least put on just a miniskirt, maybe something?
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
And you still stick to it. It works.
Gomez.
You need to stick.
Okay.
I think we've sort of... I want to bring that back for debate because I think also Rabbi has spoken about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have some questions. Mm. And just like he has said, I want to be definite.
Are they tough questions? Tough questions?
Mm-hmm. No. The world has already done it.
Mm-hmm.
Can Christians emulate the copy and paste, but then add values and go to it? That's question number one.
Okay.
Question number two is innocence
mm-hmm.
or domestication. Children are raised up, you know, taken to church. So they grow up in church, they sing church songs. But then when they come out in the world, it's sort of like it opens their eyes.
Exposure.
Yes. So they're exposed and they feel like, Wanoiwali Center, this is where the money is at.
Yeah.
So let me ditch this, you know, gospel singing. Or I'll give an example. There's a Ugandan lady, I don't know if you can mention names.
Yeah.
Fear.
Mm-hmm.
She has actually done an interview on it. She used to be in the church. Yeah. She used to sing these very, very beautiful songs with Jiwe.
Yeah.
And their songs are not like straight up God. Mm. Straight up God. They have, you know, some love aspects. They have some joy and celebration. Like, you get carried away listening to their music. But then she ditched them and then sort of you get. So what then happens or what should the church do if we know that, you know, there's going to be an initiation or exposure into the world? And then you ditch the Christian music or even the potential of creating something that, you know, Nandra is trying to work on and then be different from what the world is already doing. But then I also have a submission on who the church should be. I personally think that we're some of the most pettiest people.
Very true. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Like, we're, when we discover wealth, it's... You get, like, it's when Rabbi tells me, go and sleep and say, I am not my body, I am not my spirit, I am not my soul. And then for some reason, I cross over into the realm of wealth and, you know, come back with wealth. When I walk into that realm, I'm like, Sente Zangi. Like, why do I need to fund the church? Yeah. Why do I need to fund, you know, Rabbi has a podcast. Mm. Why should I put funds to it?
Exactly.
You get. So I feel that we are some of the pettiest people, even if unity. Very,
yeah. Without Jesus, we're petty.
Yes. it almost feels like, I can tell you for a fact, it almost feels like we come to these fellowships that, you know, help us understand who we are for... And our goal is wealth. When we achieve this,
but it's mine. It's mine.
Yes, it's for real. It's really for ourselves. So how do we?
The thing is that, I don't know. You've asked so many questions, but I feel
that was actually not a question.
It was a submission.
But
it has ended up in a question. But I think for that, salvation is very subjective. It's personal.
Yeah.
In that sense.
True.
We could all be. Jesus said, "Take heed how you hear."
Mm.
We could all be in the same ministry and respond differently to a message that has been preached to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some people just need to grow up.
That's the word, grow up.
But that's one.
Yeah.
In relation to your first thing, you said, can we take from some things from the secular world and add value to them? It depends what things you want to take, because there are some things you can't take. You just need to start something afresh. Yeah?
Okay.
But when you're saying that, what are you thinking about?
Can you dress in a miniskirt?
No, not in a miniskirt. We could actually come up with our own fashion.
Yeah.
But fashion houses, there's that lady. does fashion and modeling. Okay, but we I'm really thinking music. How do we climb these walls of fame? Say, for example, if you say Queen B is the highest, how does a Christian get to?
Okay, let me give you an example before I bring in the rest of you guys. A couple of years back, I think it's 2021. Two Nigerians were arrested in Uganda.
Yeah. Thames
And Omali. Is it called Omali?
Omale.
Yeah? Right. A year later, their music careers have been transformed.
Rob, now, I have something to say about that.
No, you have something to say about it. Huh? But take Thames. Thames is going to be part of Beyonce's new album, Renaissance. Is it called Renaissance? Right? Yeah. Thames' career has it. She's just 25 years old.
And she won a BET.
And she won a BET award. Eh? And my point is this. Sometimes we think, there are a lot of Africans coming to Uganda. I mean, musicians. And we think it's just
a visit.
Yeah.
Just a visit.
Yeah.
There is something spiritual about
Uganda.
This country that we're in. And I think people need. Imagine you who stays here. But the other guys come, they come, they leave. Yeah. Boom.
And boom.
Okay. Meanwhile, you want to go to USA.
Yes.
Listen, you would bring it to that. Okay. Ad, you said you had something
yes.
to say.
Yes. So I wanted to say exactly that. I want to believe that spiritually, Uganda has been mapped out as an entertainment.
A hub.
A hub for entertainment.
Yeah.
So whoever comes in here and is already in the industry. Sort of like picks up on that spirit. And I've seen in the news, some people just want to come and chill.
Just in Uganda, yes.
Just in Uganda.
I was told of someone who recently, of someone who said, I just want to come and step in the source of the Nile for 20 minutes. A musician.
Initially, that conversation used to be, when we were growing up, the musicians are going in the lake.
Underwater.
Underwater.
But you see, there's something. You see, when there's a spiritual atmosphere, it's usually people who are dark that seem to realize it. Yeah. Or even if they're not dark, they can sense
something.
And this is where submission is important. Because I'm going to show you something. I want you to show that clip. Eh? We're going to show this brief clip and then we'll get back.
Yeah, because actually there's that weird connection with you and Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran slept on my couch for 6 weeks before he was famous.
But how does that happen?
Ed Sheeran, I was doing a radio show in L.A. and it was a satellite show, and he knew that we do music, so he comes to my radio show. Hello, James, just trying to get my music, you know, we'd love to hear my music, whatever. I was like, well, whatever, let me hear it. So he lets me hear his music, comes to my crib, and I got the bigger crib, and the studio is incredibly nice. Because of the Kanye song. So he plays. I'm like, you're incredible. So he starts. I said, listen, I know you don't have anywhere to go. Just chill here. I was giving him food. My daughter was like, who do you have over here now? Because I would always have people, you know, I would always like champion the artist.
Yeah.
And so I said, listen, man, I think you got the goods, but I got to check you out, though. So I took him down to this show that I was doing, a live night every Monday in L.A., downtown L.A., and it was like 800 black people. All black, like just the best musicians who plays, you know, the guitar for Sting. And I mean, the level of the music is here. And there was a dude up there rapping and he was sweating and he was black. And then another girl, she came up and she sung and she was black. And they was singing blackness. It was incredible. And so all of a sudden I say, ladies and gentlemen, Ed Sheeran. He pops out. A little red hair and a ukulele. And one of my homies, who's an incredible guitarist, but he's just true to the music. It came from us. This is black, black, blackity black, right? And he says, yo, Fosh, come on, man. What's this, man? What's this? What you doing to the room right now, man? You got to respect the room. And it was just like a movie. I said, well, let's see what the kid has. And he went out there on that ukulele, got a standing ovation in 12 minutes.
Wow.
And the rest was history.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, this is important because it's laying a foundation for what I think is important. The people out there, submission cuts across all fields. This story here, Ed Sheeran, who was a nobody, somehow ends up at Jamie Foxx's house. Now, you can tell all the stories you want. You can go to walk the streets and see if you can enter Jamie Foxx's house. You see if you can enter. How many talented people are out there? First of all, I want you to understand that in the music industry and all these other industries, there are people who can see. They can see talent. Yes. They can't. They don't see it physically. They see it. Okay? And you need to submit to certain people to reach certain levels. So, for example, Akon discovered Lady Gaga. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yep.
Usher, Justin Bieber. Mm-hmm. There is always that to enter a certain realm, mm-hmm. someone higher than you must take you into it. Mm. Okay? Yes. To become Queen B, she must have been connected to
Queen B.
No, to Jay-Z.
Oh, yeah.
You understand?
Yep.
So what I'm telling you is that if that can happen in that world, it's silly to think that in our world as Christians, I'm just going to make it big. These things of submitting to to people, there are people who have gone ahead of you from a spiritual perspective who can open doors for you and allow you to enter. Now, we were asking, how can I overtake a queen bee? And I'm answering that question. One way is that the place or the person that you call a mentor or a father or someone that you sit under is very key as a Christian to the doors that you can open. Mm. Do you know why many of these guys who started in church, Whitney Houston, Beyonce, name it, many of them started in church. I think Katy Perry was also
in church, yeah.
And they leave church because the people that they're under, they outgrow them. They find them spiritually irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they connect to something much higher, much deeper that can take them where they want to go. Mm-hmm. And that's why you need to realize that if I told someone some time back that if someone else is more connected to a higher darkness than, or let me put it this way, if they understand their darkness more than I understand my light, they will defeat me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Please add, you're the music, guru.
I don't know. When you talk about Ed Sheeran and
Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
Who would have thought about it?
But just going back a little bit to the African artists and the music and all, I've realized that especially Queen Bee has really come to take what is in Africa, because she's doing all these collabs, from Africa. And I'm going back to your point of knowing she sees what is upon us and she takes.
There are a lot of collabs nowadays.
Yeah. It's a powerful. You get like she will see you, have a collab with you. Ever since B had a collab with Wizkid, I've not had Wizkid up again.
Really?
Really? Oh. No, like, for real. Like, he probably has released new songs and all, but he's no longer like... Because Wizkid used to come from this to this to this to this.
Yeah, he was such a...
Do you think like that's another way of submission? Like, just putting a person down?
What is it called?
I think feeding off the subduing. Energy.
Subduing. Yeah. Because I was listening to a clip recently of some guy... You know, yesterday when Rebecca called me, I listened to so many things. But this clip has been in my phone for years. 4 years, and I had to take it out and listen to it again. In Uganda, there's a witch that gives artists power.
Really?
Yeah.
Do tell.
I can't say the name. Okay. This clip will be shared after.
But there's a witch directly for artists.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Go on.
Yeah. So she's feared. My gosh, she's feared. And then she has this thing that she does. There's a time of the year when the moon comes out and she will see talent on you, Cynthia, and she will get a hanky and almost take what is on you or cover you.
Yeah, like steal your star.
Steal your star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
And give it to another artist or what?
And retain that, it.
No, yeah. No, no, like. The artist who wants it, because she's not going to use the puts it on
them,
on the bigger. Mm. So you're thinking this artist is coming for a collab with a downer guy. Kumbe,
she's taking any points.
They're taking from you.
Yeah.
Oh. You get what I'm saying?
Off, they feed off your energy.
They feed off your energy. True. So for you, you're thinking, this person came for a collab with me. And I'm thinking, are you for real? Because I've really been following this trend. Kenzo. With the kids that did what? Were dancing in his video.
Yeah.
Where are they?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing them
Please
anymore.
Show us the trend. Show us the trend.
Yep. No, I'm not seeing them anymore. Apparently, even one died. So for me, I feel like if that thing that you said, when someone knows their darker side more than us, mm-hmm. and then we are supposed to always be careful who we talk to, who asks for what,
and who we join our purposes,
and who we join our purposes to,
yeah,
because it may look like a big thing. And I've seen these artists always come to Uganda, always come to Africa. But somehow, the ones who are given collabs, we don't see them progress. All we be like, they're big, but they're no longer on the rising like how they're supposed to be. Unless they also catch up on the secrets.
Diamond Platnumz has done a lot of collabs.
Yeah.
And that guy seems to be in another league of his own this continent. I think there are a number of musicians actually that were signed up by Akon onto an album. I think Wizkid is part of that. I think Two-Face. There are a number of musicians that Akon himself has decided. I think his label is called Convict or something.
Convict
or something like that. So there seems to be an interest in African talent. And imagine we're just focusing on music.
Yeah.
I believe there will be a trend where, because now Netflix has come to Africa to try to foster African production onto Netflix. So even the movie world is shifting. Well, even the writing world is shifting to stories of Africa. Animation. My brother is working
on
anime. Even the new Black Adam, Wakanda.
Yep.
The Woman King.
Have you seen the trailer for the new Wakanda?
Yes.
So African, so much emotion in there.
Leave alone that. It has a specific agenda. So here, King T'Challa has died. And a woman takes over. And all these, it's actually a very feminist.
Just like the Woman King.
It's just that we have nothing against ladies. We have ladies on the podcast, But when someone is fostering an agenda, they really, really foster an agenda.
Yep.
And I don't know if you guys noticed, from the book of Genesis, the very first institution, there were two institutions. The first institution was marriage. The second one, the first one was family. The second one was marriage. Okay? And those two are the enemy has tried to destroy them from the very beginning. And so one of the ways in which this feminist movement, it tries to disorder the order that God put in place. And by doing that, that's one of the agendas we're talking about. It's not just homosexuality. It's not just what. There's an attack on the institutions that are set up from the beginning. Cynthia, add to that. You had a lot to say. You seem to be very animated.
Let me say something, because I love Africa. I'm African. For me, Africa is, that's it. You understand? I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah.
And I say that because of the next thing I'm going to say. And if you're African, you need to listen very carefully to this. And you need to understand this. We are living in the end days. In the end times, the move of God is shifting.
Yes.
There is a focus on Africa.
Yes.
Africa has a huge role to play.
Yes.
In the last days. And I think that justifies the coming of these artists or movie stars or whatsoever being drawn towards Africa. I don't think they're coming innocently. They are coming for a reason.
Yes.
Because we're living in the end days. There is a move of the spirit world, whether light or darkness. It's becoming more aggressive. There's more energy.
That's
coming from Africa.
Yes.
And these guys understand that. And that's why, because you need to ask yourself, why all of a sudden Africa? You understand? I've shared this before. We've talked about this. And I'm glad that we're talking about music, because now I can share it here as well. When Kanye West came to Uganda with Kim Kardashian, the last time they came, I read the Scoop interview that he had. And he said something that was very profound. They asked him, why of all places did you choose to come to Uganda? And this is his response. You can go check for that Scoop. He said, I don't know. My head is empty. It's spiritual.
Wow.
Kanye West.
And they don't miss words.
You understand? And they don't. These are not people who you can think.
They don't miss words.
No. You understand? Yeah. And that's just one line. out of the whole interview, subliminal messaging, one line of the whole thing. So we're looking at artists coming to Africa. We're looking at, you know, big shots coming to Africa. There is a reason. The other question that I ask for people to, you know, ponder about is you need to ask yourself why they're coming to specific countries.
Yes.
Why aren't they going to South Sudan?
True.
Why aren't they going to Ethiopia? Why aren't you going to all these other countries? Mm-hmm. There are places, there are countries where there are portals.
Portals, yeah.
These guys are not ignorant. They know what they're doing. Like what Rabbi is saying, when someone is saying, all I just want to do is come step in River Nile just for 20
imagine
minutes.
Imagine that.
They know
and you
what
know what messes
doing.
Me up is that the Ugandans don't seem to.
No, and that could be said about the church as well.
Yes.
That the people of the world see these things, are aware of these things. They actually even... trying directly putting it in the movies in our faces, but the church we seem not to see it.
We seem not to see, and
I wonder how we can start to see it.
Well, the podcast is one place. Huh?
when McLean was talking, I remember the time when Kanye came, and one of the people dreamt of him, and he was at fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
At the Zoe ground, and he was at fellowship, and he just came and he was just looking at us like he wanted what was there. So I think there are a few people who are awake, but then even us who are awake are still finding ground. We are still finding ourselves. Like recently I had a dream. I told your wife I dreamt when 50 Cent I was in 50 Cent's bed
doing what?
Okay, for those who interpret dreams,
that's an intimate.
I don't know that.
That dream interpretation has to be very
intentional. No, like, I don't even remember what your wife told me, but she gave me a very good interpretation.
I hope so.
Yes, she did. She did. But it wasn't what you guys are thinking.
Thank God.
But it was more about me entering the industry that I'm supposed to be in. And because I moved around, he had a palace and I was being taken like a queen and all, and they were dressing me and all that. So I was asking myself, of course I also woke up, I'm like, why am I in 50 Cent's bed? But then I also knew what my calling is, and I knew that I was ready to actually trade on these grounds. But also I'm still asking myself, now we are talking about these things, but how do I even get into that place and stand there and dominate? And where do I start from? Do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think that our question is that we are awake to all these things and we know what to do, but then you're asking yourself the how.
You see, the thing
I think
is
that's where we get stuck.
The thing is that I get that question so much, and for me, I get confused when that question is asked, because start.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say, man. Like, come on.
Exactly.
Start somewhere.
Yeah.
Start.
I love how men of God always be like, start.
Yes, but is it? You see.
And then you're like.
You see, let me tell you. You're dealing here with very proactive people.
Yes.
The studio that we're in, okay? Mm-hmm. It existed in my mind.
Yeah.
We sat down and said, how can we make this a reality? We started.
Yes.
It took us a while.
Yes.
Because this didn't happen in 2 seconds.
True.
But we started, and now we're here.
Mm-hmm.
The ability, as long as you can imagine it, it has the capacity to manifest into the physical. My thing is that the purpose of prayer is revelation. In other words, when you pray, God will open up your mindset to certain things. Success is based on actually doing something, not praying.
Or living in the dream world.
Living in the dream world. Anyway,
true.
Because you see, I'll give you an example. When I like to pay attention to the stories of people, and like we're saying that the world is becoming more and more spiritual.
Yeah. Mm.
So I was explaining to a few people a while back that if you notice now, in business areas, in the world of business now, guys have gurus and I've forgotten the other word for them.
Moguls.
Technogods.
Guys like that. Eh? Mm. And so they connect a lot with the spiritual world. And so guys like Steve Jobs who go they became Buddhists.
India.
India and connect. Zuckerberg. And so I was explaining how now there's a drug called ayahuasca. You've heard of it?
Yeah, I checked it out.
So
I'm going to check it out.
You're going to check it out. Yeah? So ayahuasca, for those who don't know, is a psychedelic.
Yeah.
In other words, it affects your mind.
Yeah.
And it can carry you into the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Many superstars are taking this drug. Will Smith talked about it himself. He went. People go to Brazil, Peru, and so he took it. He took this drug, ayahuasca, and this was before he slapped Chris Rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he saw. He said, "I was taken, and I saw the future, and I saw my money going away from me, and I tried to chase it and catch it, but I couldn't catch it, and I knew this had to do with something that was going to happen."
Mm.
And then a few weeks later, he slaps Chris Rock and sponsors start pulling out. And so they were interviewing him and he said, this was the thing I was seeing. And so people are looking for the spiritual experience. They're trying to connect to the world because they know that the answers
are in the spirit.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the church...
Come on.
And okay, a certain percentage of the church.
Yeah.
Love God.
Yes.
Yeah. Live, die, go to heaven. That is the perception. Yes. And we're about to come towards the end. We're coming to the last stages. Eh? We have like 15 minutes or so. Notice that now there's a lot of focus on magic. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
Now you guys notice
that. Yeah. Yeah.
So in movies, you have Harry Potter. I was talking about a movie that's going to come out soon at some point called The Atlas Six.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have all these series,
Sabrina
the Teenage Witch.
Yeah.
The Good Witch is a series, and I said there's no such thing as a good witch.
I know.
You're either a witch or you're not. That's a good witch. There's a good witch. Then now you see Marvel has taken on, and you know, interesting, they talk about a Marvel universe, then a DC universe.
Yeah.
Okay, they're trying to, their realms of their own. And so they've tried to foster the mindset that, okay, if we're at the end times, this is my mindset, this is my opinion. If we're at the end times and more spirituality, we're actually, this dispensation that we're in, I like to call it the dispensation of Moses versus the magicians.
Mm.
That's what's going to take place.
Mm.
Spirit versus spirit.
Yep. True,
okay,
true.
And so the spirituality of the church is becoming more profound.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so the narrative of the devil has to change.
Yeah. Mm. Yes.
And so they have to focus on they have to foster magic, but from a very friendly.
Yeah. The universe.
Eh? You understand?
Yeah.
Eh? So if you prophesy to someone will say, "But Tyler Perry can do that."
Yep.
Not Tyler Perry. Tyler Henry. You know Tyler Henry.
Yes. Oh, yes.
The medium.
Yeah.
Which,
the guy.
Honestly, the stuff he does is very baby. Eh? prophetically, I mean, and you notice if you've watched Tyler Henry, he never gives future.
No,
he doesn't.
Yeah? So he just looks at you and starts drawing some stuff on the ground. Then he says, "I'm seeing someone crying. Oh my God, that was my." It's very, but I do believe that there's something spiritual there.
Yeah,
but it's very babyish. And the guy is he's a millionaire over. Baby, even
baby
me.
Stuff.
Call rabbi. If we wanted to be millionaires, there are prophets out there who can do crazier things. But the idea is to foster to this generation that what Moses is doing, the magicians can also
do.
Correct.
Yeah.
Please, I don't
know. Correct. And now, of late, there's a lot of this. If you know, now there's a world, leave alone the world yoga day, but it's more like a meditation day.
Really?
Yeah, recognized. There's a World Yoga Day. And on that day, you just passed, I think, the other month. On that day, what they do is everyone around the world, like that day, just find a comfortable spot somewhere, get into the yoga position, the meditation position, and just connect with your inner self, with the universe. That's an agenda that's going on. If you watch a lot of movies now, you will find they do a lot of talk of trust the universe. And what they're trying to do, like you're saying, is replace God with
God with
the universe.
Universe. Yeah.
So you're telling us your inner self, not the spirit man.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, they are trying to, like you're saying, you're trying to make this irrelevant, that by the time the church wakes up and tries to push this, they'll be saying, no, sin that. Then the question would be, okay, I know the question someone is asking, so what does the church do? do what Moses did.
Yes.
His snake swallowed the snake of the magician.
Yeah.
And for you to do that, you need to stop being lazy, yes, stop being petty, yeah, and get to work. Grow your spirit, man.
Okay. Sandra?
Me, I think that we as Christians in nowadays, everything is about agenda. Mm-hmm. Even when we talk about entertainment.
So like when you're doing music, mm-hmm, there must be a goal behind it.
There has to be a goal.
Mm.
Yeah.
Not just to make money.
It cannot just be about anything. Oh, I feel good. Or it's about agenda.
So like, what's your agenda in your music?
For me, my agenda is to actually produce music that is touching lovers, husbands in the right way, where we eliminate the lust and talk about the real stuff,
mm,
the real love, what God intended for marriage or for love or for lovers out there. It's because we have seen music real put lust, mm, in our faces.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you want music that puts love.
Put love in your hearts and know exactly what it was intended for.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Nice.
I like that. And very and nice. what about you, Cynthia?
I think from our reflection,
mm,
I think I have a very good foundation in my role as a publicist to make sure that the narrative that's going out fits the agenda that we have as a body of Christ or as a church, really. Mm. So if I've been given all these avenues, media, traditional and digital media, perhaps I need to use those,
yes,
so that people can now receive the message of salvation, but then also, you know, be able to make the distinction between what's good and bad.
Yes.
You know what I realized, guys?
Mm. Mm.
That there are levels you cannot reach, mm, without some degree of sacrifice.
Yeah.
Very and true. Sacrifice is the different kinds. There's a sacrifice of time.
Yes.
In the church, finances are very vital sacrifice.
Yeah.
Okay? There are different kinds of sacrifice. Do you know, for example, there's this short lady, Ariana Grande.
Yes.
Mm. 2021. I forget, 2021, I believe. No, it's further back. So she's I think it's 2017. She's at a concert in Manchester. An accident happens.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
So people die. That's 2017. That must have been earlier in the year. Around, I stand to be corrected, September. That's just of the same year.
Mm.
She's hit another level of popularity.
Mm-hmm.
And she now the narrative of the songs has changed. Now, that's when she releases the song, God is a Woman. Mm. I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something that
happens.
It precedes. Mm. And you know, these things always look like they're as simple,
yeah,
but blood must flow.
Yes.
And in every kind, there must be some sort of a sacrifice to reach the next level of things. Take for example billionaires. Mm-hmm. We had a discussion about billionaires and I was explaining that we talked about this, how a lot of the billionaires in the top 50 are Jews.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I said about 20 of them, Mark Zuckerberg is a Jew, Larry Ellison is a Jew. You know the people I'm talking about, you just know musicians. I'm just joking. there are others. So they're in there. Mm-hmm. Now, Jeff Bezos is a Jew. So I said, what is it that is making all these Jews, because Jews own the most real estate in the world.
Yep.
What is it that is making these guys reach the pinnacle of society, the entire world? And yet, if we look for Christians in the first 50, like active Christians, not Christians by name, John.
Mm.
Huh?
Matthew.
Huh? Active Christians. What is it that is causing that? That is causing the lack of Christians there? Because, and my conclusion was, there's a lot of a mismatch between the people of the world. Their issue is not what they have to do.
Yeah.
Huh? Their issue is always which part is God's, because they don't consider him.
Mm.
The church, they know which part is God's, but they don't know
what they have to do.
Yeah, what they have to do. That mismatch causes an issue. Because I listened to the stories of Zuckerberg, and he was talking about how his parents at some point taught him the element of tithing I think Bill Gates also said something similar.
Interesting.
And how to give. And so, meanwhile, the church here, we're still arguing over tithing. Yeah? Yep. the source of the tithe. Eh? Mm-hmm. We're arguing over the tithing.
Yeah.
And here, these guys, he doesn't have to believe in your God because a principle, let me tell you, Bible principles don't need you to be Christian to work. In fact, they don't even need you to be human.
Yep.
Which
are because there's some people are not.
They just, once you practice it.
True.
It's going to work. Yeah.
So these people have mastered the art of when I get something, I give it away.
Mm-hmm. To get more.
Yeah, to get more. To him who has.
Much is given.
Much is given. To him who does not have, even the little he has.
It will be taken away.
So when I look at the way the world is orchestrated, you'll find everywhere, you'll find a number of things. You'll find strategy.
Yes.
You'll find vision.
Mm.
The fact that Metaverse, for example, I explained this to you, the fact that Facebook is losing subscribers, but this guy has changed the name to Meta because he has seen that a few years from now he's going to make money.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay? And now we're transitioning. Social media takes a lot of people's time.
Yeah.
But that Metaverse won't just take your time, it will take you.
Your soul.
Yeah? So he has put all his investment in that years ahead. Meanwhile, when you're starting your business, you just, I need to make money.
Yes.
There is no there's no long term.
Yeah. Yep.
You understand?
Yep.
And it has to be deeper than
money.
Yeah. And that's why people need to understand what kingdom agenda is.
Yes.
Understand? People need to understand. Because even as he's shifting his focus from Facebook to Meta, he's sacrificing this for something
bigger.
All these guys run huge charities. And for them now, it's like the standard, like everybody knows. Mm. For you to keep growing your money, give out more.
Yeah.
You understand? For you to grow your money, give out more. For us, like you were saying earlier on, this is a problem. You get money and you want to hold it, and you don't understand that when you have this money, especially as a child of God and sitting under an anointing, this is a seed.
Yes.
When you hold the seed, if you have one seed and you hold on to it,
nothing's going to grow.
You understand?
Yeah.
You have two seeds, you hold on to them, nothing is going to grow. If you have two seeds and you plant them, you get more. This is the idea behind giving and receiving.
Yes.
Giving and receiving. It's a seed thing.
Yeah.
And the guys understand that. So the church needs to wake up and understand that the progress, the success is in the giving.
Yes.
For you
to get receive. Yeah.
And that giving cuts across not just your finances,
but everything.
Your time as well. Your mindset, like your focus on what you want to do.
Your meditation.
So don't just come up with something that's just here so that. And I'll just say this and then I hand it over. Let's stop the habit of celebrating arrivism.
True.
You understand?
True.
In your village, if you ride a bicycle and you're the only one riding a bicycle, please don't be fooled
that
you're the richest man in the world. You understand?
Yeah.
Even when everyone in the village is clapping.
It's clapping.
Because I can guarantee you'll ride your bicycle to the next town. You'll find a guy who owns a bike.
Yeah.
And then it goes on to the guy with the car. And it always goes on. But this whole arrivism thing limits people from thinking so far. And then it's what brings in all this pettiness.
True.
And things like that. So you have a prophecy. You were told you are going to be this or you are this. Now, you are stuck on that.
True.
And so we are asking, like you are asking, so what do we do? We are saying start. Now, someone has a prophecy and they're sitting and they're saying, okay, yeah, I start. No, but I'm supposed to be the one in charge of real estate. So starting with one plot, that's not it really. And you never move. Do not despise humble beginnings.
True.
Mm. You understand? There is power in the process. You need to respect.
I actually also believe that God, to everyone with a dream, God gives destiny helpers.
Definitely.
So no one is out to do it alone. That's why Moses needed Aaron to speak for him.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus needed disciples. What makes you think that you're so special that God will want you to do it alone? Jesus needed John the Baptist.
Yeah.
So we all need certain people and they're around us. Now when we say start, with your starting, be open to the fact that God can never tell you to start, and by the starting, you feel it in your spirit. You're drawn to something. He can never tell you to do something or draw you to do something without the people who can help you right around you.
Yep. Yes.
That's why, for me, I yap my dreams. I'll come and say, Sandra, I'm thinking about a podcast on love. He say, Rabbi, you should invite me. You understand?
Yep.
My first guest has been what? Sorted.
Yep.
Yep. I say, Cynthia, I want to do this. He say, invite me.
And that's strategy.
That's strategy.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Some people think people are going to steal their dreams.
Yeah, that's true.
But you see, the thing is that the dream is given to you. Even if they try to steal it, they can't do it the same way.
Correct.
All right?
Because you have the blueprint.
That's correct. Blueprint. And that's why I want us, we could have said a lot because I want us to wind up.
Yeah. Yes.
But the emphasis is that I told people at fellowship that God's job is to design, yours is to construct.
Yes.
That's why he gave the design of the ark to Noah. Noah constructed. The design of the tabernacle to Moses. Moses constructed. The design of the temple to David, who handed it to Solomon. Constructed. So there are people out there who are waiting for God to construct. God doesn't do the construction. That's why when he says start, God gives you the blueprint. Yeah?
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you to give your last words as we close. Give an advice out there. Talk about if there's a musician out there who has listened to what you had to say.
Yes.
I know you could have said so much more.
True.
But how did they start? How did you get to where you are briefly? And what can they do? What can they take note based on the discussion we've had? Then we'll go to Cynthia.
For me, I love the fact that you've said start. Somewhere I started, but then now there's a new level where I'm supposed to start. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So for any musician that is out there, personally, I remember when I started, before I start on this other journey. First of all I did is walk. I used to walk. My home was here, and across the road, there was a trainer, a music trainer, and that was Pastor Danny, and I didn't know him. I met this guy in cell. I'm like, you, I want you to teach me, and I took a step. I didn't have money. I didn't have anything. I just said, I want you to teach me. And he told me, girls waste time with music. I'm like, I'm not those girls.
He told you that?
Because I wanted to learn guitar. And girls are not so, my nails are going to hurt. Oh my God, it's painful all the time. So he told me, no, girls waste a lot of time. I'm like, I'm not those girls. He's like, prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at his house by 7 a.m. every day playing guitar.
Jesus Christ.
Nice.
For 1 year. And then that's when he realized, like, now I'm going to take you on. And that has made me the Nandra today. Like, if I didn't stick to that, I would probably be still in my house doing nothing.
Diligence.
Yeah. So I put in the time. I was diligent. I showed him that I am not those girls because I had a dream. And any musician out there, I've also realized that sometimes you, or even all the time, you don't need money to start. Because even on my very first song, I did not even put a coin. Even now, I can't explain it. Because someone just came and told me, I'm going to fund your first song because I had written it. I'm like, the song
but
is already.
How did they know about your first song?
Because I talked to them.
Yes, yap it. That's what I'm talking
about. Yep. I yapped it. I slept it. I thought about it. I'm like, I want to. And someone is like, I paid for it. Then just from nowhere, someone said, I'm going to do your photo shoot. Then I told them, I also don't have clothes for the photo shoot. And someone said, I will give you money for the clothes for the photo shoot. And that's how everything happened. And I'm like, I was in awe. I'm like, I did not even touch a thing, you know. So every time we dream about something, go just do it. Yeah. And I'm even telling this to myself because now, you know.
we have you on camera,
Yeah.
But I'll say this as you conclude.
Yes.
Partners are not just for ministries. They're for people.
Yeah.
True.
Huh? That's very, very important.
Yeah.
So there are partners out there that are there to take you to the next level.
Yeah.
Your job is that when they come, they find you ready.
Yep.
Oh, right? True.
Any last sentence before I pass on to Cynthia?
The one thing that I was badly, which we've been talking about all this time and all this time, music is about agenda. entertainment is about agenda.
That's it.
That's it.
It's not entertainment. It's not about entertainment.
It's no longer about, oh, I feel good. Oh my God, I'm in a certain zone. That's nice. It can go somewhere, but it has to go with agenda.
Okay. And those days it used to be, when a man loves a woman. But nowadays, eh? Okay, yeah. Cynthia, any last?
Yeah. So for me, I'll start by saying that the promises that God has spoken about our life are all true. If he says that you are as I am, so are you in this world, you know? If he went out and was able to feed 5,000 people, there was a power with which he was working from the inside to make sure that, you know, he multiplies food. So that is the very power that you've been given this very day to make things happen. And I'll reflect, just like Nandra has said, start. But then I would also like to say that we are under attack and we do not have much time, yeah? There's all these hidden forces that are fighting for our attention. It's really an attention grab. So there's forces of light and forces of darkness. So what you pay attention to, you know, just the same way that Rabbi has mentioned, the same way that we have destiny helpers, we also have soul grabbers, people who are out there to grab your soul, and that is your dream, your vision, your strategy, all of these things. So we've already been given, there's a scripture that I wanted to reference, Rabbi, help me with this. But it talks about that we've been given discernment and we should wear it as a belt. Is it a belt or?
It's the truth. It's the belt of truth. Eh?
Yes. So we've been given discernment and we should be aware of it. That when you meet this person, you know, in your heart of hearts, you know that this person is going to help me reach and achieve my destiny. And this person is really just here to grab my soul. We've been given that. As in, we've been made as a full engine to operate at our very best versions. So at this point, as a church, we are not achieving... Okay, a part of the church is not achieving that. And we need to change that. So just like we've mentioned on the podcast, the agenda is very alive. People are not sleeping. They are creating movies. They are creating music. And I really feel that we can outsmart them. There are movies that are really telling us that there's this supernatural power that we have on the inside of us. I want to believe that the person that went down to write the storyboard of that movie must have been in a certain space for them to be able to replicate that in what we see as a movie.
Yep.
So if we are seeing this, we really have a cheat sheet that we can look into and be these things. So just as I am, so are you in this world.
Thank you, Singh. Yeah. Afimani, last words.
Just to wrap it up, I'm sure someone would have said, okay, you've talked about all these artists, it was subliminal messages, we're in the Bible, all of Jesus's parables were subliminal messages.
Interesting.
There was a hidden message in that. So if you're asking where you can find that in the Bible, go look at all his parables. And in saying that, mine is just to say, let's wake up and be as wise as serpents. Wisdom is what will help you to come up with everything that we've talked about. And for you to get that, ask. Ask specifically for wisdom in that which you want to do. And it will come. He says, you have not because you ask not.
All right. Finally, since I'm sitting with these two ladies who are guests, I would like tell us where people can find your content.
What
your pages are, social media handles, and so on.
Oh, yeah. And my YouTube page is called Nandra UG. My Facebook is Nandra. My Instagram is Nandra UG. On TikTok, Nandra UG. Oh, by the way, I'm a very good TikToker. I could post like a comedian, but yeah. Twitter, it's Nandra256. That's where you can find my content.
All right. And so your music is on YouTube?
It's on all the streaming platforms. Spotify, not yet on Apple Music.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And Cynthia?
Yeah. Yeah, you can check me out on all social media platforms. Really, Facebook, the top four. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn.
What are the handles?
And Cynthia Chofna is my name. I use the same for my channel as well, The Place for the Versatile on YouTube, Cynthia Chofna. On The Place for the Versatile, I talk about how you can be great. So my focus areas are lifestyle, career, pregnancy, motherhood.
You're welcome to join. Reach me out if you'd like to be hosted so we can have these
conversations.
Yeah, conversations. Thank you.
All right. So, finally, I would like to say thank you to my guests and to my co-host, Afimani McLean. I would like you to realize one thing, that in the Bible, Jesus spoke in parables and dark sayings, and so that does the devil. Mm-hmm. He speaks in parables and dark sayings. Now, the devil has handed down that tool to his agents to speak in parables and dark sayings. So it's up to us to do exactly the same. Yeah. The message of the gospel has to be preached in these last days. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to us. God bless you and see you next time.